Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness, produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. For decades, we've been told that dietary fat was unhealthy and eating fat would make us gain weight. Yet during the low-fat craze, Americans grew heavier than ever. Now the tide is turning on fat. And if you're feeling confused about what you should be eating, you're not alone. If we can add fats back into our diet, are all fats created equal, or are some better than others? And if low fat is out, what else should we be eating in addition to healthy fats?
Our next guest titled his latest book to reflect what he believes, Eat Fat, Get Thin. And he joins us to explain the medical science behind it. Dr. Mark Hyman is a physician, a 9-time number one New York Times bestselling author, and director of the Cleveland Clinic Center for Functional Medicine. Welcome to Take Care, Dr. Hyman. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
The 2015 dietary guidelines exonerated cholesterol and removed any recommendation to limit dietary fat except saturated fat. Since 1980, we've been on a low-fat diet, but still, millions of Americans are obese, have heart disease, and diabetes. Your new book is called Eat Fat, Get Thin. Would you explain how you've come to the conclusion that eating more dietary fat can help people lose weight and stay healthy?
Well, that's a great question because we have believed for so long that it's all about calories in, calories out. If you eat less and exercise more, you'll lose weight. And since fat has 9 calories per gram and carbs and protein have 4, if you eat less fat, you're getting less calories and lose weight. It seems straightforward, but just like the earth looks flat and isn't, that isn't actually how your metabolism works, because metabolism is not a math problem. And when the science has really been done, we now know that when you eat certain foods, the quality and the composition of your diet matters. When you eat calories, they're not the same as when you burn them in a lab. When you burn them in a lab, 1,000 calories of soda, 1,000 calories of almonds are the same. When you eat them, they're quite different. And the same thing with fat. When you eat sugar and refined carbs, you increase a hormone called insulin. It's a fertilizer for your fat cells. And when you eat fat, the opposite happens. You don't increase insulin, and you actually burn fat. You cut your hunger. You speed up your metabolism, whereas when you eat sugar and refined carbs, you slow your metabolism, you increase your hunger, and you stop fat burning. So it's really powerful when you look at the composition of your diet, and that's why we have to shift our thinking around this low-fat model, because it's really been harming us for so long.
All right, so then what about the different types of fats? I mean, the thing we're still being warned off of is saturated fat. So what's the idea behind, what's the science behind the idea that eating saturated fat does not contribute to heart disease? Because you'd think,
fat out. Concept that saturated fat and total fat were connected to heart disease. And it was a perfect storm of bad science, professional associations like the American Heart Association, the government, and the food industry all jumping on the bandwagon to convince us that fat was going to clog our arteries. And it makes sense, right? It looks like fatty streaks in your arteries, cholesterol in your arteries. It should be correlated with the fat you eat. Except, again, your biology is not so simple. And we now know that actually when you eat sugar and refined carbs, that's what actually causes you to have abnormal cholesterol that causes heart attacks, whereas when you eat fat, it doesn't do that. And there's been some really big reviews and studies over the last decade that are increasing and mounting that saturated fat may not be the culprit. There was a big review of 72 studies, 19 countries, 600,000 people in the Annals of Internal Medicine a couple of years ago that looked at total and saturated fat and found no connection between heart disease and total or saturated fat. And another study by Dr. Krause of 350,000 people over 23 years, again, no link. Just this week, a study came out that showed that it was a meta-analysis of stroke and that there was an inverse relationship between saturated fat and stroke, meaning the more saturated fat you had, the lower your risk of stroke. So I think there's some real confusion about the role of saturated fat in the diet, and the data, I think, is coming in more and more that it's not harmful in the absence of refined carbs and sugar. So what I want people to take home is to not eat sweet fat. That's a donut. That's French fries. That's ice cream. You combine the sugar and the saturated fat, it's bad news. And that's what is happening in America. But when you subtract that, there really seems to be no link.
So you're actually using a term, sweet fat, and that is a guideline because Linda and I were talking about it earlier. When you hear that saturated fat may not be bad, you're thinking, oh, then when I have ice cream for dessert, I heard a doctor say that it really wasn't bad.
No, but
And that's why it's so important. It's so important to give examples. So you're calling it a sweet fat. So that's why eggs, which so many people stopped eating, thinking that it was increasing their cholesterol, that is an okay thing. Let me ask you a couple. This is kind of like a lightning round of examples, and we'd like your opinion on this. Can we now butter our bread instead of dipping it in olive oil at the restaurant?
Well, no, because the point is, sweet fat is bad, so butter on bread is bad because bread is worse than sugar in terms of its glycemic index and raises your blood sugar more than table sugar. So the answer is no. If you want to put a little butter on your vegetables, that's okay.
that's interesting.
So the idea is when we say sweet, that's really like the shortcut for talking about the glycemic index. We're interested in the impact.
Raise blood sugar.
Right. Okay, there you go.
So you're saying don't eat the bread.
Eat the butter.
Exactly. It should be a treat. It's a treat.
Okay.
It's not a staple for sure. The government told us to eat 6 to 11 servings of bread, rice, cereal, and pasta a day. We listened. And we thought, you know, pasta was the new health food. Bread was healthy because it was low fat. And that's actually what drove so much of our crisis. What I'm saying is saturated fat is not a health food, but I don't think it's the boogeyman that we thought it was.
So if we are making scrambled eggs and we switched from using butter in the pan to olive oil, can we go back to butter without worrying?
I think the answer is yes, and I also think that you don't want to heat it too high because it has a lower smoke point. So if you alter it by heating it, it creates a toxic byproduct, which is true for all fats. So you have to be careful with that. But otherwise, yes.
All right. How about then if we choose steak over turkey at a restaurant? A lot of people are choosing turkey burgers instead of hamburgers. Is that all right, or should we still be feeling guilty that we wouldn't want that type of saturated fat?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The saturated fat in your food doesn't raise saturated fat in your blood, which has been linked to heart disease.
So completely throw that. Yes. Mm-hmm. So completely throw that idea out. So people who've been eating turkey, thinking that they're doing themselves a favor,
they're both raised sustainably, because if you have a feedlot cow, it's got different fat profiles. It's more inflammatory, more omega sixes. Because they're fed corn as opposed to grass-fed cows. Now, it's more expensive for sure, but from a pure health point of view, the grass-fed is much more healthy than the feedlot cows.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness, produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
We're talking to Dr. Mark Hyman. His new book is Eat Fat, Get Thin. And we're talking about the different kinds of fats, what's healthy and what's acceptable. And we were doing a lightning round. And as the word guilt is in there, just because I always feel guilty when I don't eat what I think is the right thing. So the last question in our lightning round, what about the skin on chicken, if that's what we prefer? Is that considered a healthy fat?
Okay, honestly, I think. You know, when you look at if it's crispy and barbecued and all that, there's other issues with it, such as changes in the proteins that happen and the fats when you heat them to high temperature. So that's another issue. But from the pure point of view of fat, no, the answer is no.
I want to ask a question which is maybe more a concern. When people are dieting, they're always concerned that they're going to be hungry. But when you do tend to eat a diet, and the problem with a carbohydrate-rich diet is that there's the satiation level is perhaps never truly there, whereas it seems that when you eat a sufficient amount of fat, you're satiated, thus you eat less. Is that part of the equation of losing weight?
Well, what happens when you eat fat, you literally turn off the hunger switch in your brain. So you don't eat as much, typically. They've done studies with this, but you will feel more satisfied and you won't be craving. And so when you eat the fat, it literally shuts off the metabolism that's driving your hunger, which is high insulin, and you're shifting when you eat insulin, the fats and sugars in your bloodstream into your fat cells, and they're like hungry fat cells, and then your body feels like it's starving, and you're in this vicious cycle. When you eat fat, you don't do that. You literally satisfy the brain and the biology in a way that actually helps you lose weight.
So when you had alluded to the idea of sweet fat before, as long as there's sugar present in the diet, the fat really can't counteract that. You have to really take the sugar out, and then the fat can do its job.
Yeah, I think, you have to look at what your reasonable overall dietary pattern is, right? So I think of sugar as a recreational drug. It's not that I never eat sugar or never eat anything with starch in it. It's just that I know that this is a powerful substance that can actually create an increase in weight gain and increase in inflammation and increase in bad cholesterol. And then I'm careful about it, you know. And I think that's really what people need to be aware of, that if you, for the most part, eat good quality diet, which is like high in fruits and vegetables, nuts and seeds, good quality fish, chicken, whole eggs, and good oils, avocados, almonds, and olive oil. All those things can be helpful. And then some grass-fed meats, and then occasional starch and grains and sugar. That's okay.
Dr. Hyman, are there people that should not be on this type of diet, maybe with a medical condition that would be a contraindication for this type of diet?
Well, can anybody eat whole foods, lots of fruits and vegetables, nuts and seeds, lots of good fish, grass-fed meats, cut out sugar and processed food? I do not think there's anybody who can't do that. I mean, I was running a program at a junior high, and we wanted to put in a healthy eating program for the kids. And the teachers were like, "Well, should we get consent from the parents before we put them on this?" And I'm like, "What, to eat real food? We should maybe get a consent so they could eat soda and junk food."
Excellent point.
It sounds like in any situation, planning ahead is important, because obviously at the end of the day, if you're tired and you order out for food, the type of food that comes through the door is not going to be healthy for you, whether it's fast or delivered from a restaurant. So for someone who wants to put together a healthy plate, what should that look like? I guess the question would be, what do you eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and what do you snack on?
Well, I'm very busy and run around the world teaching, writing, seeing patients, and I don't have a ton of time to cook, although sometimes I do on weekends. So I make it very simple. And I have usually one of two breakfasts, either a fat shake, I call it a fat shake, which is essentially nuts and seeds, chia seeds, hemp seeds, pumpkin seeds, flax seeds, maybe some walnuts, almond butter, coconut butter, berries, coconut milk. I put in a blender, like in 3 minutes I have breakfast. Or I'll have some eggs cooked lightly with some stir-fried spinach or greens and an avocado, sliced tomato with some olive oil on it. I put, you know, eggs have the fat, the avocado has the fat, olive oil has fat, so I put all that together. And then lunch, same thing. I have like a fat, call it a fat salad, which is lots of greens, crunchy vegetables, and then I'll put in things like olives, avocados, pumpkin seeds. Those all have fat in them, plus olive oil. So I get good quality fat for my lunch. And then dinner, I have a small piece of protein. It could be grass-fed lamb, piece of fish, shrimp, and then some veggies, lots of veggies. So I'd say basically 2/3 to 3/4 of my plate are vegetables that are non-starchy, piece of protein, and it could be tofu or tempeh if I want to have that non-meat, although I make sure it's non-GMO. And then I'll have maybe a sweet potato, half a sweet potato on the side sometimes, although not always. It's very low sugar, low glycemic. And if I want a dessert, I'll have some frozen berries in the blender with some coconut cream and milk, which is from the can, which actually has a really great flavor. It's creamy. It's like ice cream, but there's no sugar in it. So that would be kind of an average day for me. And I keep it pretty simple, and I can do that all in about 30 minutes total for the day.
Knowing that Americans are always reluctant to change, we think we want to change, but it's a slow process. If you could push a button and have every American in the country make one small shift in their diet, what would you advocate?
I think if they could make one small shift, I would completely and immediately eliminate any liquid sugar calories. Because when you consume liquid sugar calories, whether it's in sodas, juices, sports drinks, sweetened coffee, sweetened teas, it's one of the biggest drivers of obesity and insulin resistance, which is driving so much of our chronic disease epidemic in America.
Dr. Mark Hyman is the author of the newly released book, Eat Fat, Get Thin. He is a 9-time number one New York Times bestselling author and director of the Cleveland Clinic Center for Functional Medicine. Dr. Hyman, thank you so much for your advice on this topic that challenges so many of us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.